You'd open your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to talk this morning once again about deacons in the local church. Just a little bit of a roadmap. Next week, we start the book of Romans, and we'll be in Romans most of this next year, going section by section, verse by verse, but major sections at a time of Romans. So if you want to read ahead, I've been listening through the book of Romans on audio while I've been walking and doing things like that, so feel free to start digesting the book of Romans before we get into it. Our text this morning is 1 Timothy 3:8 through 13, the key word being serve. And the main idea that I'm going to lay out this morning is deacons, both men and women, have the responsibility of joyfully serving the local church. Deacons, both men and women, have the responsibility of joyfully serving this local church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that we have in your word, and we pray that you would just guide and direct us as we move in kind of a new direction as a church in the area of deacons. In Jesus' name, amen. This Sunday, we're revisiting a topic I spoke on last Memorial Day, deacons in the local church, and how GFCC operates, or how we govern ourselves and why we do what we do is very important. It can also raise questions. Why do we do communion every week? Why do we have an open mic? Why do we have a shared meal the first and third Sundays of the month? And how is our leadership team structured? Those are all important. Why do we have a leadership team of elders and deacons? What's the difference between an elder and a deacon? What role do women play in the leadership structure of our church? More specifically this morning, what is a deacon and how do they function in our church? And then, who can be a deacon? And our bylaws say, why do our church bylaws state that the congregation nominates deacons rather than just elders appointing them and say, you come and be a deacon? So those are all important questions that we want to consider. Each Sunday, our announcement slide is up there, and it shows you who our elders and deacons are. And I had somebody say this last week, I don't even know who the deacons are. And it's like, well, it's up there every week, but you're visiting and talking and getting to know each other and all that kind of stuff and getting your coffee. So maybe our deacons could just stand up. Our current deacons could just stand up. There's one there. One there and one right there. They're there, and Pete's not here. Pete's out of town today, so there's four deacons in case you wondered who our deacons are and you haven't seen the slide up there. We encourage you to seek them out if you have questions, elders too, and we'll either answer the question, deacons or elders, or we'll direct you to the right person who can help you with that. In fact, on that point, our leadership team has been talking about and working on a better way to clarify our structure and specific roles within the leadership team and the areas specifically that need oversight. So by better articulating and by clarifying these roles, you as church members will have a better idea of who to talk to if you have a question or a concern. I'll give you a couple of examples. Someone is sick or recovering from a surgery. You think, wouldn't it be nice to provide meals for that person or that family? Who would you go to find out if meals have been scheduled? Another example, you'd love to be part of a worship team. Nobody's asked you. You like to sing or you play an instrument. You'd love to be part of a worship team. Who would you reach out to and ask if you could be part of a worship team? Or a third one, you have an announcement that you'd like to have considered for a slide on Sundays. Who would you reach out to have the slide made or have that suggestion made? So you can see from these examples that a bit more structure and clarity might be needed if you didn't know a quick, ready answer to all three of those. Just saying, go see a deacon seems insufficient, even for our small congregation. Specifically, as it relates to deacons in our church, some background is important. We've been blessed to have wonderful deacons at this church for the last 22 years that we've been in existence. They've served us well, and we are really grateful for everything they have done and are currently doing. Our deacons model loving God and loving our neighbor. And some of our closest neighbors as we gather Sunday morning are right here among us. We're all neighbors together. And they model that well of loving you and caring for you. A couple of years ago, as I said in my previous sermon, two men in our congregation, one who has served as an elder and one who is currently serving as a deacon, came to the elders with two articles that they said, would you read these articles? It seems like, as we read it, deacons can be both male and female. I'm taking allergy medicine, so it makes my throat dry out. So they came to us. My first reaction after looking at the articles was, women deacons? No way. Not possible. It was clear, at least in my thinking, that only biblically qualified men can serve as deacons. End of discussion. Why did I say end of discussion? It's because, first of all, my personal bias. I grew up in a Baptist church. For most of my life, I was taught deacons were men. Even at the founding of Household of Faith in Gresham, when we went there, deacons were men. It's just obvious. For a season, I was a deacon at that Baptist church, and women served the church in many helping ways, you know, like they were called deaconesses. And what could be more obvious? You know, my personal bias, that just is just obvious. That's what the answer is. Secondly, I thought I had a verse that proved my point. And you know how it is when you feel very strongly about something, you could say, I've got a verse for this, and you'd want to just lay it on people. And my verse was 1 Timothy 3:11, and it made it so obvious. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Right in the middle of deacon qualifications are these words, their wives likewise must be dignified. At first reading, that obviously means that the passage is referring to wives of deacons. Those are character qualities that a deacon's wife should have, and she should be dignified, not slanderous, sober-minded, faithful in all things, but after further reading and reading those articles that these men gave us that to the elders, it's not quite so cut and dry. It's not quite so simple. So before we look at the biblical text about deacons, and there's really only about four of them in the whole New Testament, the elders believe that we need to lay some groundwork to better understand the subject. So everyone, I'll just say right out, everyone may not agree with where we've landed, but if we differ, we're called upon to be charitable with each other. And the bottom line is, a topic like this shouldn't divide us. We shouldn't have to break fellowship over something like this. It's a non-essential, big theological, die-on-the-hill type of thing. And scholars and theologians have written much about church polity, P-O-L-I-T-Y. Polity is a fancy word for how a church governs itself. All churches govern themselves differently, giving different levels of importance to different areas. And in the area of deacons, so little is really written specifically about deacons in the New Testament that we as elders believe that our personal background and our experience in past churches should not drive our decision. And like I said, it did shape a lot of my decisions about it. That was until these two brothers came to us in love and said, would you guys read this? Because now we now hold the position that both men and women can and should be deacons at Gospel Fellowship Community Church. And that may come against your prior church background or what you've come to expect and normal and right just at this church, because we've operated that way for years. So, after I preached the topic last Memorial Day weekend, probably not the best weekend to present the topic, we got very little feedback. Either you weren't here or you just didn't have any questions. And so we thought, okay, we're going to move ahead. The leadership team started to talk about it. And then it raised some issues about how would it be structured? What does it look like? What roles do male and female deacons play? So that leads us to our outline this morning. We're going to take a look at our current structure, a little teaching on our current structure as a church. Then we're going to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. Is our current structure lined up with what the Bible says? And then what are our next steps that we feel that we need to take? So first, our current structure, then what does the Bible say, and then next steps. What is our current structure? As a church, let me back up for just a second. As a church, from its founding in 2002, and according to our written bylaws, only men can be nominated and serve as deacons. While this has served our church well, we believe as elders that it's time to reconsider this position, bring it before you, and change our bylaws to better reflect a change in our views. So after we consider the biblical text this morning, we want to move forward in very near future with deacon nominations. Currently, we operate as a team, a leadership team of elders and deacons, and if the deacon is married, we include their wives in the leadership meetings if they wish to attend. Our regular meeting is the last Thursday of every month, last Thursday night of every month, so we'll meet this Thursday night will be our next leadership team meeting. So what do we do in these meetings? The first thing we do is we spend as much time as we need just praying for you guys, praying for our church, praying for the needs of our church. And even in our small little congregation, we all don't know what's going on with everybody. It seems like an elder or a deacon has a little bit more insider knowledge about what's going on with somebody's health or job or situation in life. And so we just spend time just together as couples. We just pray for you as long as we need to. And then we discuss items of business that pertain to the entire church. We don't have enough chairs. We got too many chairs. We got whatever the discussion is that we just can both, men and women, can weigh in on. And then we break into two groups, men and women, and we talk about issues that pertain to the men of the church and activities and events, and women as it pertains to women of the church and their activities and events. So that's kind of how the structures go. And it's worked well. But we have seen that the wives of deacons who participate seem to be taking on roles that are very deacon-like, serving the church in many, many ways, overseeing areas like ladies' Bible studies and ladies' retreats, set up cleanup schedules, documentation, sign up genies for meals, baby showers and bridal showers. Don't ask a male deacon to organize a baby shower or a bridal shower. It would not go well. Or sign up a meal train. I mean, we're happy to provide a meal, but don't ask me how to sign or start a meal train for somebody that's sick or away from the hospital. These women have been doing it all with the oversight and approval of the elders, and it's worked well to this point. But after studying the topic further, and I've been talking to other churches, one's you guys' church. I went and sat down and talked with Pastor John about leadership structure at Grace Baptist and had a great conversation with him about that. We believe that both men and women can and should be nominated by the church members for consideration and examination as deacons. Thomas Schreiner, he's a professor of New Testament interpretation and he's a professor of biblical theology at Southern Seminary, says this: the question as to whether women should serve as deacons is unclear in the Bible, and so it makes sense that sincere interpreters of Scripture differ on the matter. Thus, we must beware of dogmatism and uncharitable spirit when adjudicating the evidence. I thought that was helpful. So while our elders believe that men and women can and should be deacons and nominated as deacons in our church, we don't want to be dogmatic, heavy-handed, or uncharitable. Dogmatic is that characteristic of being authoritative, holding an arrogant position of doctrine or opinion. It'd be something saying, the elders think this is right, so we're going to do it. That's being dogmatic. It's be unloving and incorrect to do that. Or uncharitable. That's holding a view without considering the other people's opinions on it and how they feel or believe. That'd be the elder saying, we don't really care what you think. We want to move forward anyway. Let's go. That's an uncharitable spirit and promotes a lack of love and unity in the body. With that in mind, with your Bibles open to 1 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 8, this passage lists the qualifications for deacons. May I add also, and this is, I think, a key point, all of us should aspire to these qualifications. Every one of us should. They're not reserved for a special class of people in our church called deacon. all of us should aspire to that. The qualifications for deacons are like that of elders, but they're not identical or interchangeable. I'll address the difference in just a few minutes, but we believe that the local church should have both biblically qualified elders and deacons. So what does the Bible say? Point two, what does the Bible say about deacons? 1 Timothy 3:8 through 13 lays out for us the biblical qualifications for deacons. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their own children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It says first that they must be dignified. That means that they're worthy of respect. That means that they're respected before they're even nominated to be deacons and would be respected if they served as deacons. They're worthy of being imitated. Then it says, not double-tongued. That means they're not a gossip or a slanderer. More pointedly, literally, don't talk like Satan is what it says. They don't have a snake-like tongue. They aren't two-faced. They're not insincere. Slander can also mean sharing something that's true when it would have been better to hold your tongue and not share. Sometimes a deacon hears things that's true, but they need to be able to hold their tongue and not share it for one reason or another. That, did you know that, or did you hear that, sometimes is not appropriate. And a deacon needs to not be double-tongued and be careful with what they say. That's the opposite. So being double-tongued is the opposite of what you want from a deacon. You want a person that has some spiritual wisdom and insight and care. Be careful with their words, thoughts, and emotions. Then it says, not addicted to much wine. Paul is saying they have control with alcohol. I believe in the Greek, check me on this, they pay attention to their wine. They're not drunkards. It's not a it doesn't prohibit having alcohol, but being careful and wise in the use of it, always with care and moderation, considering the brothers and sisters that we're in fellowship with. It's not greedy for dishonest gain. Not always looking for a quick buck, not involved in get-rich-quick schemes. This qualification is especially helpful for a deacon because normally they're the ones that count the offering every week and oversee the financial and benevolent needs of the congregation. Then it says they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So our deacons need to hold to a pure gospel. They're not required to teach like elders are, according to 1 Timothy 3:2, but they must clearly hold to the gospel and walk it out in their lives. Then it says in verse 10, they must be tested first. What does that mean? It means that they're observed, they're assessed, they're trained by the elders and their fellow deacons. Then they're approved by the congregation for installation. There's an actual process for becoming and being trained as a deacon at GFCC, and we're working on getting better at that. For many years, it was just walk alongside of a deacon who's been a deacon for a while, and you'll figure it out. And we figured out that that's not the best way to do it. We need to have a little bit more structure in our training for new deacons and new elders. When we come to verse 11, different translators translate it differently. And this is important. Verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. That's the ESV. The NIV says, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Christian Standard, wives too must be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. The NIV uses the word women, which suggests that Paul is speaking of women deacons, while the CSB inclines towards the interpretation of wives of deacons. I know this is technical, and I'm sorry, some of this morning is technical, but we could get really, really technical, and I'll talk about that in a minute, on the whole subject. 1 Timothy 3:11 in the ESV says, their wives likewise must be, and then it goes on from there. First, I don't think the ESV is the best translation of this particular section. I preached from the ESV, have for 22 years. If you have an ESV Bible and you look at footnote number 4, now this is getting really technical, footnote number 4 says the phrase, their wives could and should be rendered women likewise. So 3:11, women likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. The translators made an interpretive decision in the ESV that leans more towards male deacons. But the footnote says, but it could mean both male and female as deacons. And they're wise, they're right to list the footnote there so you can study it and come up with your decision on it also. The ESV is helpful and does that for us. And I really think their footnote, number 4, is a better translation. So, and this is a big question. If Paul isn't addressing the wives of deacons in verse 11, then Paul seems to be giving qualification for women deacons, which makes a lot more sense. And here's a key question. Why would there be qualifications for a deacon's wife and not an elder's wife? Paul is very precise when he writes. You know this. We're going to see this in Romans. He's very precise when he writes. Why would he leave ambiguity regarding elders' wives and not say anything? And says some, we're not so sure that he's saying that about deacons, but we're thinking that's what he's saying. At first reading, he's not very clear and perhaps even confusing, but if you look closely at 1 Timothy 3, the word likewise is helpful. We believe that Paul is establishing two groups, male and female deacons. The qualifications parallel each other, and in the flow, this is what it looks like. In verses 8 through 10, he seems to be addressing male deacons. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience and let them be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves faithful. Then, in the next verse, he seems to be addressing female deacons, although it's not expressed there specifically. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. The word there isn't there in the original. It's been added in the ESV and some of the other translations. There isn't there in the Greek. And wives could also be translated women. That's another interpretive thing. So women likewise must be dignified and so on. He seems to be addressing female deacons there. Then in the next verse, he's back and he's talking to male deacons. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For me, that was enough. The deacons must be the husband of one wife. Stop right there. Only men can be deacons, unless he's just addressing the men in that verse, and that seems to be what he's doing, where in the verse before, he was addressing females who are deacons. And then he ends in verse 13 by addressing male and female deacons together. For those who serve well as deacons, whether they're male or female, gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Without getting more technical, the term for deacon in Greek means servant. means servant, which can be both masculine and feminine. So after careful study, we believe that Paul is teaching having men and women as deacons and that the Bible allows for the office to be held by both men and women. I know this is technical. I know it's complicated at first here. Going to see some of you looking at your Bibles going like this even as I'm speaking. We believe that having both men and women deacons will better serve us as a church by having specific areas of oversight. Typically, when deacons are nominated, they're nominated for specific areas like finance or facilities or member care or men's ministry or women's ministry or worship or sound and audio. As I've been studying some of these other churches that we respect that have both men and women deacons, it seems like they're nominated for a specific area that they oversee and they have expertise in. Pete is excellent in the area of finance, and to have him as a deacon overseeing finance is so helpful to us as a church. Pete needs to take a break. It's time for Pete to come off and have somebody with that area of expertise to come on as a deacon, whether it be a male or a female. Now, if I really confused you, I'm going to link an article on Realm that explains what I just talked about in detail. Some of you are more visual and slower and need to slowly read through what I've been talking about. So I'll post that either this afternoon or tomorrow, an article on Realm that speaks about male and female deacons in more clarity, I think, even than I've been able to do this morning. There is one more passage. Let's look at Romans 16:1. ESV says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Caesarea, or the ESV footnote, or deaconess of the church in Caesarea. NIV says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon. So NIV says, we're going to use deacon for the word servant there, of the church. And the CSB again, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. Phoebe's called a servant, the same word used for deacon in 1 Timothy 3, and the same word that is used in Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. The ESV footnote, as I said, for the word servant, says it could be a deacon, since the Greek can be masculine or feminine. But in the context, it makes sense that he's speaking about a female deacon or a deaconess, if you will, in the context. But we don't build a church polity on just one verse, Romans 16:1. The Romans passage in context does seem to say that she's a deacon because Paul mentions a specific church that she's serving in. Just she's a specific person in an official office in a local church. That's all the evidence we have in the New Testament or women deacons, because Paul or any of the New Testament writers don't say more. We believe there's some opportunity for leeway in structure and governance. The elders, as I've said, believe that there's a place and a necessary place for women to be deacons. They will serve useful and necessary roles in our church. So now that we've looked at the Bible and what it says about deacons, what next? What are our next steps? What do we do with what we've heard this morning? As I said a few minutes ago, we don't believe that this should be an area of division or argument among us. This is not an essential doctrine of the faith. Theologians and churches we respect come to different conclusions. According to the Apostle Paul, we believe women can serve as deacons because, unlike an elder, a deacon's ministry is supportive and does not involve teaching or exercising authority over men. And that's an important thing that may require some more discussion. That's the role of the elder, to teach the body and exercising authority over men. The office of elder overseer is restricted to men because qualifications for pastor or elder include being able to teach, or some translations say apt to teach, and to lead. This doesn't mean that women can't teach. There's lots of opportunities for do that. It's that they're not the teaching authority preaching to the entire church, or the leadership authority governing the entire church. That's reserved for elders or pastors. So practically, what does that mean? Male and female deacons are similar in role, but different in practice or function. They are similar in role, but different in practice or function. Male deacons can minister to the needs of the church, especially ones where men are particularly skilled. Take productive fellowship, where you need some good, strong arms to do something. Or protecting the flock. One of the roles that deacons play is protecting the flock, watching out for you. Years ago, we had a laptop stolen out of one of the unlocked cars. And you guys remember that? That was your son that happened to. And ever since then, we've had a few men that just get up during the service and walk the parking lot and make sure there's nobody out there that shouldn't be there. Then they just come back in and enjoy the rest of the service. But they're watching for you, out for you, and protecting you as we meet. They keep an eye on the entrances, and some of them sit in the same places every week. They're watching the entrances around the building during the service. Those needs are particularly suited for men. Also, planning and organizing events for our men, Bible studies, men's retreats, overseeing productive fellowships. Female deacons can minister to the entire church, but are especially suited to minister to the women in the church as needs arise. Planning and hosting ladies' retreats. Men are not good at that. Selecting and holding ladies' Bible studies, bridal and baby showers, as I said, coordinating meals, caring for the women of the church in many practical ways. They're going to see things that the male deacons don't see, that needs to be met. Good deacons, both male and female, don't respond just to needs. They anticipate them. I'm so grateful that when I was studying this, to have a deacon anticipate needs instead of just always responding when something comes up. Our deacons are so good at anticipating needs. We have a planner app for how we organize our service and who knows what they're doing and all that type of stuff. That was because a couple of our deacons said, we have a need. And the elders went, everything seems to be working. And no, we have a need to have an app that helps us to do this. And they wisely anticipated that need and came in and said, let's do it. And then they researched it and then brought a recommendation to us. Good deacons, I'll say that again. Good deacons, both male and female, don't just respond to needs, they anticipate them. And we believe that men and women deacons help us to do that better. Another practical change, we have to change our bylaws. There's a fun part. Currently in our bylaws, deacons are men only. According to our bylaws, the leadership team, they make the change to the bylaws, and then they present it to the church for approval. The changes are small, but they're important. So this is the first time I think I've ever put up a piece of the bylaws to the church, but I'll do it right now. And it's small print. Deacons, qualifications, here's what it says. All individuals serving as deacons shall qualify for such leadership according to the character standards of 1 Timothy 8 through 13 and Acts 6, 3 through 5, which we're not going to cover today. We might talk about it another time. They shall be men or women, that's one change, of spiritual maturity and godly character, having demonstrated service to the body. They, as opposed to he, shall have been a member of the church for a minimum of 1 year and be in substantial agreement with its statement of faith. Then selection and terms. After a time of prayer, the congregation will nominate men or women to serve as deacons who meet the biblical qualifications. Deacons will be interviewed and approved by the board of elders, and then will be affirmed by the congregation. They shall serve a 2-year term and may serve consecutive terms with approval by the board of elders. And we've held that really loosely because they faithfully served and continue to serve. But that's what our bylaws say. In the little red, we have three little changes we have to make in the bylaws. So here's step one. When asked, we're going to need you to pray and then submit nominations for deacons, both male and female. This is step one in the process. We do have deacons, as I said, that need to move off of the leadership team for refreshment and for the season of life issues. And when a nomination occurs, the elders will take those nominations and they'll approach the people and see if they're willing to serve. That's step two. Step three, the elders examine those who are willing to serve, and then we present those names back to you for affirmation. So part congregational, back and forth, rather than just having them anointed or appointed. after affirmation, then the new deacons are set into office. I should also clarify, you don't need to be a deacon to serve in a particular area. What we believe we need is deacon or elder oversight in all areas of our church. That will help the entire church operate in a more cohesive manner. Okay, what about wives of elders? What do with them? They're not deacons, and there's no qualifications for them in 1 Timothy. What about the wives of elders? The wives of our elders serve alongside of their husbands. They faithfully serve, they love to serve, they joyfully serve. They serve in whatever areas that they desire to serve in. And over the years, they've overseen more and more and more, and it seems like that needs to be divided out a little bit. They can serve wherever they desire to serve. They don't have to become deacons in order to serve in the local church. They just joyfully serve because they're the wife of an elder. But, and I'll say this emphatically, they don't need to become a deacon to serve. They're already serving, and they can serve wherever they want to serve. The number one place they serve is just standing alongside of us as elders. We appreciate the wives of the elders that stand alongside of us. They're so helpful. We are thankful for each one of you and for your faithful service. Without your service each week, week in and week out, we couldn't serve. We know it's a challenge to set up this gym every single Sunday, and we're constantly looking for other options that might work, and we try something, and the door gets closed, and so for now, we're here. And we know that it takes a lot of effort to turn this empty gym into a sanctuary every Sunday. I'm thankful, we're thankful for Rivergate. They let us store everything right here. So many churches, our church we planted in Salem, it's in a trailer. Every single Sunday, somebody comes early, drags a trailer from their home, people show up and they set up, then put everything in the trailer and cart it off afterwards, and everything's here for us. We don't need to bring things in every week, and so we are so grateful for Rivergate, and we are a blessing to them. I believe some of our weekly rent actually helps pay for scholarships for some of their students here, so they're grateful for that. We also want to do things as a church that help to improve the facilities. The parking lot needs to be, if you just notice, that's getting harder and harder to find the stripes again. And I think we as a church should come alongside of them and say, can we help fund that? And that's just me talking off the top of my head, but we've done it before, and it seems like it's something we can do to bless them in addition to our weekly rent. Everything we need is right here. That's not a small thing. Finally, and I'll just say this, each one of us is on a spiritual trajectory. The spiritual lives of your elders and deacons is of utmost importance. When we have godly leaders and we have a godly congregation, we advance the gospel. Each of us is not without sin, as we sang about this morning, but we should be growing in godliness, and it's the gospel of grace on display in each one of our lives that makes the good news attractive to other people. We best serve each other and the Lord by following the example of Christ. In Philippians 2, it says he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. That's what each one of us should want to and desire to do. So let's continue to serve each other and especially show appreciation to our deacons who faithfully serve week in and week out. And let's move forward in the very near future, nominating both male and female deacons. The reason I say in the very near future is because we're going to have a leadership meeting this Thursday night, and that's usually where we set the times and the dates and the parameters to move forward. It might be a week from now, it might be 2 weeks from now, but I don't want to say it's going to be next. For me just to declare it's next Sunday is pretty presumptuous to not include the other elders and deacons and the leadership team in that. So that's why I say in the very near future. Before I pray, I want you to know that you can talk to the elders or the deacons about any question that you have. We want to be approachable. We want to be teachable, but we want to be approachable. Don't be afraid just because we have a title that you can't come and talk to us. We want to do that regarding this topic or any topic that you might have. And finally, your elders and their wives count it a privilege to pray for you. We say this often, but probably not often enough. After communion, we station ourselves around the perimeter of the gym, and we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you as a couple. If there's something that you want to share with the wife or something only with the husband deacon, we can separate ourselves and do that. But we want to pray for you. And that's one of the ways that we can support and encourage you is just to pray with you after communion. So however the Lord leads in that, just feel free to do that. I hope this is more clarifying and not more confusing. I'll post the article to help us, but I think most of all, I'm just going to close in prayer and invite the worship team to come on up. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Bible. We thank you that your word is our guide in all that we do in this church, and really, it's a guide for all that we do in life. I thank you that your word shapes us and guides us as we meditate on it and we obey it. I do thank you for the love and unity expressed week in and week out with this body in so many tangible ways. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and directing us as we move forward in a new direction regarding deacons in this local church. We love you and we want to serve you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.